The crimes you are about to hear were all specially committed for this recording. No names were changed, because in our opinion, no one is innocent. Not even you. It was Monday, July 24th, 7:32 a.m. It was hot in Los Angeles. Even in the early morning hours, the humidity made it seem like 102 in the shade. My name's Joe Friday. My partner is Frank Rogers. We were working the day shift out of cryptozoology when a call came in about a burglary. Detective Whitaker and his division normally would have handled it, but somehow it came our way.
The break-in took place sometime in the early morning, no specific hour given. The place to check out is the Acme Warehouse Outlet, 221 Baker Street.
Bargain district.
Yep, here's all the info we got from the victim's call. Thanks for handling this, Joe.
Not a problem, Dave.
I'll be getting back to my other cases. Stay cool, brother.
You too. Let's see now. Victim claims he saw a large truck driving away from his building when he arrived early this morning.
I don't get it, Joe.
What's that, Frank?
If we're working cryptozoology, why are we getting a burglary case?
I'd say the prime reason is what was reported stolen.
What's that?
According to this call sheet, 22 goats. It was 8:45 by the time we reached the crime scene. Early morning traffic jams from overheated vehicles had tied up a good part of the city, county, and state roadways. We arrived at a rundown warehouse and sales outlet for general merchandise. The sign over the public entrance read, Acme.
What? Who's that?
Police officer, sir. We're here about a reported burglary.
Oh, well, just a moment then. There. Come right on in. Come into the air conditioning, officers. And good morning.
Good morning. I'm Detective Joe Friday. This is my partner, Detective Frank Rogers. Are you the gentleman that put in the call?
I sure am. Bottle Camp. Rick Bottle Camp. I own this place. Bought it in 65 and been doing a good business since.
That's so?
Oh, yeah. Folks come round to my Acme Warehouse outlet for all the things they need. You name it, I got it, and usually in bulk.
Do you have a rotating zebra wood mailbox post with a mechanical chimp on top wearing a Flash Gordon costume and holding a baton for conducting an imaginary orchestra?
Well, of course I do. In fact, you passed them on the way in.
Mr. Bottlecamp, you indicated when you called that the burglary took place sometime overnight. Are you sure of that?
Oh, no doubt about it. When I locked up, I know those goats were right where they belonged. I passed down that aisle on my way out.
And you said there were how many?
22.
Can we have a look at where they were?
Sure thing, right this way. There, see? That long empty stretch of shelves next to the diving suits and the giant chess sets.
Yes, sir. Frank, you got an envelope?
Right here, Joe.
Mr. Bottlecamp, I'm going to take a sample of this goat hair and these droppings as evidence.
Be my guest. Whatever helps solve the crime.
Have you had other burglaries here, Mr. Bottlecamp?
Since 65? Plenty. But nothing after about 7 years ago. And they caught that fella coming out the back door. He had an armload of my designer trampolines for iguanas.
Nothing recent, though?
No, sir.
Have you noticed anything else disturbed or other missing merchandise?
Not a thing. The money was all locked up in the safe and them goats was the only thing gone.
According to the officer that took your call, you said you saw a truck. Can you describe it?
Well, it wasn't one of them giant semi-long-haul 18-wheeler jobbies. It looked more like a delivery truck.
About 16 to 24 feet?
Something like that, yeah. I don't know what color, though. It was still pretty dark.
What time did you arrive?
Oh, I get here usually about 6:30 and set about opening up at 8 o'clock. Yeah, I think I got here about 6:30, but I wasn't going to open the store today. No, sir. Can't have a crime scene all messed up. I know that. I watch TV.
Can you tell me which way the truck was traveling when you saw it?
Oh, that's easy. I come in from the west and it was traveling east away from me.
One last question, sir. Do you sell chupacabras?
What?
Chupacabras, sir.
Is that like a Lhasa Apso or something?
No, sir. It's a dog-like leaping biped with glowing red eyes and a pointy snout. It has bristly hair, spiny quills down its back and a forked tongue, fangs, and it drinks the blood of goats or any other livestock or small animals it can catch.
Well, I never heard of one of them, but it sounds like a Halloween-y seasonal thing, and I don't go in for stocking that. But I could try ordering one up for you. 19.5% discount.
No, sir. No, thank you.
Listen, I wonder if I could go ahead and open up for business if you folks are through.
I think we've got all we need. Thank you, Mr. Bottle. Can't go right ahead.
Are you still interested in that rotating zebra wood mailbox post with the mechanical... Oh, yes, I am. Do you take cash?
Absolutely, officer. Come on up front and I'll write you up a receipt. We do things the old-fashioned way here at Acme. That's part of why everybody comes here. Yep, everybody comes here to Acme.
Well, sir, I bet you could wish for one less visitor.
Who's that?
The shady customer that stole your goats.
With no immediate leads, Frank and I began taking the next logical steps. In 100-degree weather, the stolen goats would leave an incredible stench behind in any rented or stolen truck. We put in a request to R&I to forward any reports of unusual smells from recovered, stolen vehicles, and left word with the relief shift to start making calls to all the truck rental establishments within a 50-mile radius of the Acme outlet, requesting immediate callbacks if any of their vehicles were returned stained or smelling of urine. We took a short break after making a few dozen calls ourselves.
Is this case starting to smell to you, Joe?
Not sure, Frank. How do you mean?
There's just something not quite right about that Rick fella over at Acme.
Yeah, I noticed that too. What's your take on it?
Well, for one thing, he didn't seem all that worried or upset about the break-in.
Yeah.
And for another, if he was doing such a good business, how come no customers were waiting for the Star to open? And I didn't hear his phone ring the whole time we were there. Plus, the place was a little seedy and run down, if you ask me.
Good points. But I could take all that for just a silly old guy with a sour business. The thing that bothers me is, he's got everything under the sun for sale and looks like he's been selling rare items for 40 years.
Okay, so what's wrong about it?
He never heard of a chupacabra?
Yeah, that does seem strange. An animal like that fetches a sky-high price.
Not to mention, it's been all over the news, what with Chupabob being taken from the Dragon's Landing Inn.
Yeah, there's that too. How is that case coming along? Have you heard anything?
Nothing new coming down the wire from the DLSS. But they're in touch with Interpol by now. It's a pretty wide search from what I hear.
You suppose we should get into...
Cryptozoology, Friday. Yes, ma'am. This is Detective Friday. How can I help you? Yes, ma'am. Are you calling from your home now? All right. Try to calm down, ma'am. Give me the address once more, please. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, we'll be right over.
What's up, Joe?
Looks like the other shoe just dropped.
Oh? Why's that?
Last night, somebody stole another chupacabra.
The call came in from a Mrs. Elvira Worthington Begholder, a prominent and wealthy socialite living in one of the luxurious and upscale neighborhoods on the outskirts of the city. We arrived at her residence at 3:20 and were let in by the house servant. Mrs. Begholder was in a state of extreme agitation.
Oh, my baby. Oh, the unbearable horror of it all. You simply must find my little Mephistopheles. You must!
Yes, ma'am. Calm down, please. We'll do everything in our power to recover the animal.
Animal? It's not just an animal. It's my beloved pet. My paranormal puppy. My interdimensional blood-sucking snookums. Oh, Manuel, give me my laudanum. This is just too much for me to bear.
Ma'am... Laudanum is an illegal substance in this state.
No tishin piddle, what nonsense. My nerves are at the breaking point. The breaking point, Officer Tuesday. So never mind. Here, take this $1,000 and look the other way. But what does this have to do with finding my baby? Why aren't you out looking for it?
We need just a little more information, ma'am. When did you discover the when did you know it was missing?
This very morning, Manuel went to feed the poor dear and came down to tell me that the nursery was empty.
Nursery?
Well, yes, of course. That's where Mephistopheles lives. Aren't you listening to me?
So you kept the chupacabra in an ordinary room?
Ordinary? Nonsense. It is a finely decorated and splendid home for any pet. Only the best.
May we have a look?
Of course, go, for all the good it will do you. Just find my sweet little red-eyed angel. Oh, my nerves. I shall never recover from this, never. How could such a terrible thing happen to me? What would my friends say? I simply cannot live without my dear...
We followed Manuel to the room where the animal was kept.
Joe, that lady just took an illegal drug in front of us and tried to bribe you.
Frank, do you want to drive all the way downtown with her in the back seat?
Look here. This must be the room.
Yeah.
According to the DLSS fact sheet, the ideal pen for a chupacabra needs to be a 25,000 cubic foot underground climate-controlled cinder block enclosure with a non-porous concrete floor, a steady temperature of 87 degrees, and a humidity level of 65%, with a single case-hardened steel door that's reinforced with titanium alloy bars, a constant interior mercury vapor light fixture, plus ultraviolet secondary illumination, and a water bowl and a blanket. What we found was a small set of adjoining rooms that would rival the luxury suite of any posh hotel.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Joe. If I was a chupacabra living here, I wouldn't run away from home.
No kidding. This is more like the Ritz than an animal pen. Excuse me, Manuel, were you responsible for the care and feeding of the chupa?
Si, senor.
Your name is Manuel, isn't it?
No, not really. It's Mark O'Brien. I just put on that Manuel bit for the old lady. Makes her feel better for some reason. I don't care. It pays good.
Fine. Whatever. What time do you usually feed it?
I usually bring the little stinker a couple of dozen guinea pigs around 7 o'clock. That's when I came in here and couldn't find it. I went into the next room and saw the window busted and glass all over the floor.
Sure thing, Joe. Bra bar, looks like.
You didn't hear any kind of noise during the night?
Not a sound. But I don't sleep here in the house. I live in the gate cottage.
You said guinea pigs. Doesn't the chupacabra prefer goats?
Oh, I tried goats the first few weeks. But you can't get them within 10 feet of this room. They start going nuts, crapping on the carpet, kicking the walls to pieces, and biting me. I finally convinced the old lady to switch to guinea pigs.
And the doors and windows are kept locked?
Always. It never got out. She had the creepy little beast almost a year now. Never got out.
Hey, Joe, look at this. All these bits of paper on the floor.
Well, those don't belong here.
Never seen these before?
Nope.
Wait, back up. We're standing on them. Well, they're all over the place. Little pieces of red paper shaped like fish. Mark, don't touch them. We'll pick them up.
There's writing on them, Joe. The chupa was stolen by Anim 5.
This chupacabra was kidnapped by Chris Miller.
The animal you're looking for was taken by Mer Lafferty.
The stolen beastie will be found at the house of the harping monkey. Do they all say this sort of thing?
Looks like it. The theft of this animal proves that you should fear the boot.
Chris McCullough took the chupa.
Terrestrial boy stole the pet.
The domain of apocalypse kidnapped the...
Mick Bradley has the goat sucker.
Oh, I gotta get that.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Thanks for the help.
No problem.
What's the deal with all these names?
It's a pretty clumsy way to throw us off track. Those are all names of podcasters and their listeners. There can't be a shred of truth to any of these notes. There's no such thing as an evil podcaster.
Detective Friday?
That's me.
Phone for you, right here in the hall.
The Mad Three are responsible for... K.J. Johnson committed this crime.
Joe Friday.
Ty McGowan holds the stolen creature.
Yep.
Mark, from all games considered, broke in and took your... Chuck Tinsley and Lana Izzell crept in like thieves in the night and...
What kind?
Ethan Parker.
Is he booked yet?
David Moore. The Norwegian Viking.
You got an idea.
Nev and Sarah.
Well, okay, we'll
Digger and Poots and Pat. Good gravy.
Frank, did you gather up all the redfish notes?
Yeah.
Well, we've got to make time back to the station.
What's up?
Sounds like they just brought in our goat thief.
The suspect was waiting for us in Interrogation Room 7. Vinnie Peltmonger, a two-time loser with a long rap sheet and already wanted for parole violation. He'd been driving a small truck from the Firefly Rental Agency on Pomona Boulevard and was pulled over by a highway patrolman for failure to signal. When the officer ran a check, the vehicle turned out to be reported stolen.
You're wearing a pretty tight noose. You don't have a lot of room to move in, so you might as well come clean. Who's the buyer? I ain't saying nothing.
Don't be a sap, Vinny. Clamming up isn't going to help you. You're going back at the joint no matter what. We got a match on the goat hairs and droppings found in the back of your truck. Not to mention the chupa quills. What did you do? Put the chupa in the truck with the goats? Or did you drive them separately to some other location?
Where'd you get all those scratches and bite marks all over your face and neck?
And where'd you get the $600 in cash? Somebody must be paying you. Come on, spill it.
I ain't saying nothing. What? Hey, quit poking me. What? Hey, quit poking me. You don't scare me.
No? How about now? Nothing. Tough guy, huh? Frank, why don't you take a break? This could be a long night. I'm starting to lose patience with this guy, and I don't want any witnesses.
You sure, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead and get some dinner and shut-eye.
Okay, then.
Listen, mister, you may think this is all some sort of funny game, but it's not. You're looking at 5 years minimum for the vehicle theft, plus whatever else gets tacked on for the chupa napping. We've got evidence enough to build you a prison cell three times over and a wealthy victim waiting on the sidelines to make sure it happens. Now, your only glimmer of hope for any kind of leniency is to lead us to the people you're working for, or the chupa, or both.
Leniency? Ha! That's a laugh.
You turned down public legal counsel for this. Why's that?
I ain't saying nothing.
You don't care what happens, do you? You don't even give a damn about the victims.
Lay off me, will you? Who cares anyway? It's just a dumb animal.
Yeah? Well, if we're gonna compare dumb animals, I got news for you.
What's that?
You take the prize.
Several hours of leaning on Vinny didn't turn up a thing. I gave up, finally, went upstairs to my desk, and spread out the odd, red, fish-shaped paper notes to have another look. When Frank returned, I was pretty beat. But the coffee he brought tasted swell and woke me up a bit.
Gosh, Joe, you look awful. Did you get anything out of him?
Not a thing. I tried every trick in the book. I made him pull a hair out of his nose. I stared at him with my beady little eyes. I even made him listen to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, episodes 10 and 11.
Holy cow, Joe, don't let the chief find that out.
It got pretty ugly, but he didn't crack. Listen, have you got any of those little aspirin packets? I could use one right now.
Yeah, sure, here you go.
Thanks. Oh, you dropped something there.
I got it. My receipt from Acme. You know, I don't usually buy on impulse, but when I saw he had...
Hang on a second, Frank, let me see that. Holy smoke.
What?
Look at this handwriting.
Yeah?
Now look at the fish notes.
Bottle camp.
As Frank went to get the car, I took a moment and called in at the main desk to get squad cars and agents from the Dragon's Landing Secret Service over to the Acme warehouse. By the time we'd arrived, the DLSS had already landed on the roof and had a crack recovery team standing by. We entered through the rear of the warehouse and caught Bottle Camp literally red-handed. He was coming up from his basement storeroom carrying the bloodless carcass of a goat. He didn't even offer a struggle as we put the cuffs on.
That bum. I knew Peltmonger would turn me in, and after I'd promised him $1 million and a good lawyer to keep his mouth shut.
Peltmonger didn't turn you in. You trapped yourself with the red herring notepaper.
Oh. Well, yeah, I suppose that was pretty stupid, wasn't it?
It was a classic trick, though, reporting a theft that you did yourself. It even threw off suspicion for a while. But your old-fashioned ways did you in. Why'd you do it, Bottle Camp? What was the point of stealing a chupa?
Money. What else? I may own this place, but that don't mean I ain't got a third mortgage on it. I couldn't make the payments anymore. Business was lousy. I was about to lose it all. Then I read in the papers about that chupa bar being stolen from them fellas, Chuck and Lonnie. I figured if I got me a chupacabra, I could wait for some sort of reward to be offered and pass it off as Bob, or sell it to somebody else. That's a mighty expensive critter in my basement, you know.
Of course we know. That's why the DLSS is down there capturing it. They know how to handle chupas.
So what happens to me now?
Well, I wouldn't worry about that, Mr. Bottle Camp. We know how to handle crooks. Let's go.